All right, parents, welcome back to The Journey. This is Dan Panetti, and I've got a special guest, Janique Stewart, with me. She's going to be here next week in January talking to our students and actually having a parent training session. And so, parents, I wanted you to kind of hear from Janique before she was going to be on our campus so that you could anticipate her being here, carve out that time. Next Tuesday, it'll be Tuesday, January 18th. She'll be here at 6:30 p.m. in the Horner. And I hope it's something that you'll want to come to, that you'll want to hear her speak. You'll want to grab a friend and bring them, whether they go to PCA or not, because the information that she has and what she's going to be talking about is so important. So, Janique, welcome to our podcast. And we're just so excited to have you on.
Well, thank you so much, Dan. I am so honored to be a part of this wonderful opportunity, but to even be on your podcast, The Journey. So thank you for having me.
Super excited. Now, you're part of an organization called Life Training Institute, which we had a couple different speakers from Life Training Institute here in the past. Great organization. Scott Klusendorf started this a number of years ago. Tell us a little bit about Life Training Institute and what you guys do there.
Absolutely. So Life Training Institute, we have the opportunity to travel around. We do a lot of conferences, but we also go into schools where we make the case for life. That is what we are. We are a pro-life apologetics ministry. You see, most people, when they hear apologetics, they think of the classical form of apologetics, which is dealing with, you know, religion and faith-focused apologetics, which is wonderful, and we need that. But most people don't realize that as a result of postmodernism and moral relativism, that religion and faith-based or faith-focused apologetics has given birth to a whole movement of what we refer to as cultural and social apologetics, where we're training the next generation to be able to defend the faith on the social and cultural moral issues of our day. And one of those is pro-life apologetics. So that's what we do, is we want them to be able to give a logical reason defense for the hope that they have. You know, that whole, when we think of 1 Peter 3:15, where we set apart Christ as Lord, but we're always ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. And we do it with gentleness and respect. That is that whole foundation. And so we want them and we equip them with the tools to be able to defend the pro-life position and be able to debunk some of the common objections that they're going to hear in the culture.
That's so important for our kids to be able to have a defense for the life issue, because it's such an important, it is the beginning issue, obviously, that God has created us in his image. And so life has value, not because of what we've done, but because of who he is and who he has created us to be. And so that's such an important issue. It's also really important now, because as you know, there's a lot of things that have changed recently in the culture. There's a big issue that's coming before our Supreme Court, looking at the issue of Roe versus Wade, that might send this issue back to the states. And so young people, I think, you know, Roe versus Wade was kind of decided when I was a young kid. So for the last 50 years, in a sense, it's kind of been established law. But now these issues are coming back up again. And so we want our young people to understand what's going on and why this issue is so important. But one of the things you look at, too, is young people are their views and values on the issue of life has really begun to change because of the media that they're influenced by. As you mentioned, the whole postmodern, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. And it's really begun to shape the way that they have seen the issue. So what have you seen as a reason why it's so important to address this particular issue, when a lot of people probably my age who are parents are probably thinking, well, the pro-life issue, we've kind of talked about this. Isn't that kind of a passe issue that doesn't need to be addressed again?
I'm so glad that you're bringing that up, Dan, because what we see on a very consistent basis is the idea that most people assume that this next generation is very pro-life. According to George Barna, most of us are aware of George Barna, the huge pollster.
Sure.
In 2020, he actually came out with new information regarding Generation Z. And what he found is that when you look at all the different generations, they are the most pro-choice. In fact, the numbers or the statistics are only 3 out of 10 Gen Zers find abortion to be morally wrong. So 3 out of 10, that is only 29% of Generation Zers find abortion to be morally wrong.
Now, which doesn't seem to make any sense in the generation that's following the science. It seems like the science would promote the idea that life begins at conception. Right? We know that. right? Yes. So why wouldn't we be protecting life even more now because we have the information, which by the way, back in 1973, when they decided Roe versus Wade, it's one of the things that they said is we really don't know what's going on in there. And so we can't make that decision. It seems like in 2020, right, we know when life begins and that life needs to be protected.
Sure. Well, yes and no. Yes, it is very much the science generation. However, we make the assumption that they're being taught the science. Mm. But the reality is, though, Dan, especially like in a lot of the public schools, but also when you look at the entertainment industry, they're actually using very dehumanizing terminology. So even Planned Parenthood themselves will refer mm-hmm. to the unborn as a product of conception. So they're not really using medical terms. They're actually using dehumanizing terms that actually diminish the humanity of that individual. So on science, so if we're talking about, again, a TikTok generation, a social media generation, they're not seeing the truth. What they're seeing is they're seeing these ideas and concepts that literally it's dehumanizing, but it's also stripping them of their personhood. So many of them will say, okay, well, even if it is a human form, does it really make them a person?
Right.
So when we take away the personhood of an individual, we're left with no longer seeing them as equal to you and I. So that's why with a Life Training Institute, we will ask that question, you know, who counts as one of us? And ultimately, what does it mean to value human life? But yes, as a result of social media, because of what they're seeing, even in television shows, and also this, Dan, since 2017, there have been over 9 movies made about abortion that really kind of make it seem like it's so casual and that it really is no big deal.
Okay. That's very interesting. Yeah. So these are the things that our kids are being exposed to that we're not really even paying attention to.
No, that's exactly what's happening in television. Even just movies alone, even on, I fly a lot as a speaker, and there is actually a couple of movies that have actually been available to watch through the apps on American different airlines where they can watch. And the whole premise is about girls going to get an abortion and how it's so wonderful, but they're really not showing the reality of abortion, that it intentionally kills an innocent human being. That is nowhere to be found in that movie. Not to mention some of the shows that they're watching, like The Good Doctor, which actually make it seem like it's no big deal. So again, they are being inundated with ideas such as my body, my choice, which sounds great, Dan. That sounds wonderful. But what we need to also raise is a generation that become critical thinkers. Karl Marx said a nation of non-thinkers is easily led. And because of social media, that's what we're seeing, where people are just buying into this ideology. And as a result of that, that is why 29% believe that abortion is not morally wrong.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the whole idea of personhood and when does personhood begin? What does it mean to be a person? What does it mean to be a human being? Because right now, our kids are wrestling with the whole idea. What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a person? So a lot of things we kind of take for granted that are normal, right? Our kids are having to wrestle with. And in a sense, right, a lot of the deconstructionism is forcing our kids to ask and answer these questions. So we need to prepare our kids and give them answers so that they can enter a culture that's asking these things and they have a reasonable, intelligent, biblically solid basis to be able to answer those questions that our culture is answering or is asking. So important, right, for parents to come out and to hear you speak. So glad that you're going to be here to talk to our kids, to be able to give them that apologetic. Just as a reminder to our parents, right, you're here next Tuesday, January 18th. It's going to be an evening session. It's in the Horner, which parents, you know, if your kids are a little bit younger, you may not have been over to the middle school or upper school yet. It's the kind of the big meeting room in the middle school, upper school. It's our conference center, the Horner Training Center at 6:30. Janique is going to be there. So I'm super excited for you to be there. What else would you say to our parents? Just as a way to draw them in, what else, what other kind of information might you share with them that evening?
Sure. For the parents, for the teens, obviously we are going to be, what I will be doing is giving a very logical reason and defense for the pro-life position, where I make that case for life using the science of embryology, but also the philosophy to talk about where does our value come from and why, regardless of some of the things people will bring up, like size, level up development, environment, and dependency, why we still say that regardless of those changes or those issues that they want to bring up, the unborn still has the same value as you and I. For the parents, though, I will also be talking about why it's important that mom and dad, two things. One, mom and dad need to be able to answer those very same questions.
Sure.
But two, what if it's their son or their daughter finds themselves in an unplanned pregnancy?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that mom and dad will say? So I kind of have a little segment called What Would You Say in This Situation? And I have different scenarios that I will raise and I want them to kind of talk through, but it really is important that mom and dad think through that, because sometimes it's not always, Dan, what mom and dad say, it's how they respond. And sometimes, you see, part of my background, Dan, is that I used to be the director of a pregnancy clinic down in Boca Raton, South Florida, near Florida Atlantic University. I ran a faith-based clinic. And so many times it was kids from the church would come into my clinic for a pregnancy test. They'd go down the street to Planned Parenthood, have that abortion, and they'd come back for counseling to my clinic. And Dan, almost every time when I'd say, your parents were a deacon or they were an elder of the church, or, you know, you're a youth pastor's son or whatever the case may be. They very much were identified as Christian, but they would always say, because of my parents' reaction, I did not even feel I could come and talk to them. That's why I went to have that abortion behind their back.
Wow.
So we do have to have that conversation of, are we talking about this? And do your kids know 100% that if they found themselves in an unplanned pregnancy, you would not be that person that they would be afraid to come and talk to, or that they would feel, I have to have an abortion because my parents would be horrified that my choice to now be a teen that is pregnant would be such an embarrassment to our family that's why I chose to get that abortion.
Yeah. We say if that life is valuable, right, that we have to protect that life and we have to promote that life. I know one of the big things our church has done is a huge focus on foster care and adoption. Such an important thing. So, there are alternatives to raising the child even as your own. But abortion is definitely not an option, because the taking away that life is not a solution, right, to the problem that you find yourself in. So if you've got an unplanned pregnancy, there are other solutions that you can, go through, right, and pursue. And I know it has, this stigma that comes with, an unplanned pregnancy and oh my goodness, look what happened, right? But eliminating a life that God has given to somebody, right, is not, I don't think, from a biblical standpoint, it's not an option for a Christian family to even consider. So absolutely, that's an important important conversation for our families to have.
Absolutely. And we can never have it too often. I think that sometimes that conversation comes up only once or twice a year, but because of what they're inundated with and because of what's going on in the culture, when you look at dogs, when you look at what's going on, we will find out in what June, July timeframe, what the Supreme Court has decided. So we know that's going to impact abortion as we know it. So we need to be having these conversations. And we also have to remember that in our conversations on the television shows, there is a worldview that's being promoted on TikTok. I mean, there is a worldview being promoted. And so we have to be very cognizant of what they're being exposed to, but we also have to be aware of what we're saying when, for example, Dan, what about when you see a young girl that clearly is a teenager who's pregnant, and maybe you're out to lunch or maybe you're at the store shopping and the kids see a young lady? What is our response to her? Do we look down upon her? Do we say things negatively? Because we don't even realize we're making a statement through our nonverbal behavior, our position on a teen being in an unplanned pregnancy. When the reality is that young lady is bold. She could have had an abortion and she chose life. So do we look down upon her and treat her differently? Do we make snide comments? So all those kinds of things are critically important. That's why we have to be open to having these conversations, and in our actions, And in our words, we have to be life affirming because that's our neighbor. And we're called to love our neighbor, whether our neighbor is pro-choice or pro-life, we're called to love our neighbor. So even when it comes to disagreeing with people, Dan, we need to do that lovingly because that's also our neighbor and we're called to love our neighbor.
Yeah, very, very, very important. I'm glad you're going to come and have those difficult conversations with our community, our parents and our students. And hopefully that really the parents have those conversations with their children at home, right? Mm-hmm. So after you come and you're able to talk and to give those reasoned evidences, right? I hope our students go home and they have those conversations with the parents and the parents really go back from a biblical perspective and they have those life-affirming conversations with their young people. These are what we're going to do. This is where we stand on these particular issues. This is what God's word says about it, and we're going to live it out. So super, super important, very important for us, right, as followers of Jesus Christ, to make sure, right, that life issue that we're solid on. So thank you. Thank you for being a part of Life Training Institute. I'll put in the show notes the website so people can check it out and visit it. But we're so excited that you're going to be here next week. And I'm thrilled that and hopeful that a lot of our parents come out and meet you in person and get an opportunity to listen to you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dan, for having me on the journey.
All right. Thanks, Janique.
You're welcome.